From Dallas to Joburg, it's Cooler on 919.
Tell us a little bit more about Joyforge Labs. You're a global distributed team that's building out the future of niche B2B software. When did you start up Joyforge?
Joyforge is the kind of remnants or the child of the previous business I was in, where we had discovered in our niche, and that niche was business-to-business trade credit. You know, when you're a business and you supplied services to another company and you're waiting to be paid and trying to figure out, am I going to get paid? And who should I do business with? And my customer asked me for more credit. What do I do? That's the space I was in. And we found in that space, it was kind of unloved. It's the back office, that there were many problems in that space that we could solve. And we realized a certain approach to product strategy that helped us to better identify which areas we should focus on, you know, which hyper niches we should be going for, and then how to develop through an experimental process what we should be building. You know, starting off with a customer problem, really trying to understand what is it that the issue is, why can't they solve this problem themselves? This is where, you know, we developed a fairly successful process, and we had this niche that we wanted to do more in. At the time, unfortunately for me, at least my shareholders weren't that interested in starting up a whole range of new businesses. They just wanted to focus on what was already there. Completely understandable. So I decided to start Joyforge Labs after I left there in order to incubate these ideas in a particular experimental process. That's where the labs comes from. So it's a kind of venture laboratory, a way to test ideas quickly so that, as you know, most ideas will fail. So you make the bad ideas fail quickly. And the good ideas, you try to make them fail through really good experiments. And just some just won't fail. Some just want to do well. And then those are the ones you proceed with and continue to build a business around. So there's a couple of opportunities there in that pipeline that I'm working on. But it's really a trying to test a new way of building companies that I've seen work very well in these niche spaces, and I'm hoping to make more successful businesses out of that. But a lot of that is also at the moment really consulting, you know, companies wanting to understand, okay, how should they take an approach to test this new business without much funding? How do we build prototypes? What should we test? Essentially, I should probably start with this, but it's a process to better find product market fit. How do you find that product market fit quickly? How do you find it with the least amount of capital spent, so that you can, you know whether your idea is likely to succeed? And if it is, how do you get to that magical moment where customers are just buying it and ripping it out of your hands because you've discovered something that they really have a problem with, and that your solution, even if it's a very weak prototype, is something that they want to have immediately, and they want to get they want to buy from you. So that's what product market fit really means. And most people never really find it because they branch off into multiple things and offer clients, you know, a combination of services and product. And that's one way to kind of get lost along the way. But that's what Joyforge Labs is really about today.
Fantastic. I love that labs aspect to it. I think that's really smart. You are based in Houston, Texas at the moment, but clearly still very passionate about South Africa, going up by your LinkedIn posts and the podcast that you host, the Silicon Springbok podcast. You share stories of some of South Africa's toughest entrepreneurs. And I really felt a connection to that. You know, during this show, the stateside connection, there are so many South Africans abroad who have fascinating stories to tell, but we range from athletes to scholars to entrepreneurs as well. I love that you're honing in on entrepreneurs. When did you start up your podcast series, and what was the inspiration behind it?
So I decided I would do it on New Year's Eve. I was in bed with a huge fever, 40 degree fever. I had it for like already 18 hours or something like that. I was completely delirious. Decided I'm going to start this podcast finally. Because I'd had this idea for some time. Why? Because I'd always struggled to convince people who are negative about South Africa why I'm positive. Like, why do I have this hope? Why do I think South Africa is a wonderful place where a lot of other people appear to have good evidence for why South Africa's in a downward spiral. And I just don't believe that. But what's my evidence for my hope? And part of that is talking to and knowing quite a lot of other entrepreneurs who have, despite the challenges, well, not despite them, but that's what I say, you know, on the Silicon Springbok, but because of those challenges, have actually built amazing businesses that are world-class, powerful businesses that do really well. And I don't think that those entrepreneurs would have been better served growing up in a country or place where it would have been very comfortable, where it would have been very easy. And so the point of that Silicon Springbok podcast is really to build up the evidence for the case that says, you know what, if you want to become an entrepreneur and you want to become a business builder and do something creative and something meaningful, there's almost no better place than growing up in South Africa and doing that there. And even myself now based in Houston, I'm really trying as much as I can to leverage the deposit I have from growing up in that country, mm-hmm. but also continuing to work with other South Africans and also hiring South Africans locally and looking at South Africa as a laboratory where you can build new things and build new products. It's an incredible country from that perspective, that it continues to be able to solve new problems. But that's because that's what you do all day long, right?
Absolutely.
The power's out. Let me go find a solution for this. No, don't worry. Boardmark a plan. And you can either look at all those problems and say, oh, they are holding me back. I am disadvantaged because of this. But I think it's kind of saying like a guy who goes to the gym saying, oh, you know, because I've my muscles are sore and I've gone through all of this pain in the gym, I'm now disadvantaged. Like, why? It is the precise thing you need in order to be competitive out there in the world. Mm-hmm. If you grow up in a nice comfy suburb in the US and everything in your life is pretty straightforward and you go to a nice school and a nice university and everything is nice, when the going gets tough later and you try and start a business, you don't have the resilience, you don't have that risk muscle developed.
These are the exact conversations I've been having with the friends I've seen in the last few weeks, is that South Africa is just geared for innovation. It's exactly what you've been saying. Why the advertising is so good, why things are so sharp and witty. And it's because of the challenges here, whereas things are built for comfort. Everyone wants comfort and convenience in the USA. And it's exactly what you've been saying.
Yeah. So I tried to also make the point in my post that you can be living in South Africa and be very negative and not a positive citizen of South Africa. And I think, you know, not on Team Safa. I think about it like, are you on the team like the Springboks where we're working together to do something great? And whether you're in South Africa or outside of South Africa, I don't think it actually makes all that much of a difference. Of course, if you're in South Africa, people feel like, okay, cool, we're here, we're suffering together. And I get that. But if you're there suffering together and you're every day complaining and you're not contributing to the solution, then I don't think that you are necessarily as valuable as somebody who is maybe overseas, but is contributing, who is taking that what they've learned and being a great ambassador for South Africa and being positive and building great things. And then, you know, through that demonstrating, hey, you know, I was privileged to grow up in a place where I had a decent education and some decent opportunities, but yeah, I had to struggle a little bit. I had to find solutions to things. That, I think, will be the privilege of the future in a world of, you know, very instant, easy coding with GPTs and things like that. We know that the creativity and ability to have the vision to build solutions is what's going to trump things. And is already the case. You see the guys who've done incredibly well overseas. It's because they just went ahead and built something that now seems obvious, but wasn't at the time. And that's, I think, a special gift that you get given when you grow up somewhere where these things are continuously changing and there's lots of problems. But there's also lots of good too. You just grow up around people who are solving problems and who are building businesses. I mean, I had so many uncles and cousins who were building businesses. To me, it was just natural one day to leave my corporate job and go and plunge into the world of entrepreneurship and have the resilience to stick it out, even though I've made a lot of failures and I wouldn't call anything I've done majorly successful. But that that inner resilience, you know, comes from being someone who grew up in non-perfect circumstances. That's what I think we need to appreciate much more and celebrate.
Absolutely. Well, Dom, if businesses are interested in reaching out to you for a consultation session, what is the best way to get hold of you?
Yeah, either on LinkedIn, just connect with me there. Just Dom Pateau at the Texan Sapphire. But also, if you go to joyforge.dev, joyforge, F-O-R-G-E, not force, joyforge.dev, that is a contact form that you can reach out to me there.